100th psalm, it's a psalm of praise for the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Stop. Hello. Did you read that? Come before his presence with singing. Singing's not for your entertainment or your enjoyment. It's for the Lord. That's where we get the thing all backwards. The praise and worship band. You know, you feel good when you come out of there. I feel good, used to feel good when I came out of the rock and roll band too, back in the day. Yeah, it was horrible. It was evil. But it made your bones move. You felt good. The rhythm is up. It's jazz, man. Gospel music set to the rock and roll, rockabilly tunes is not gospel. And he says, you come before the Lord with singing. Hey, worship is not for your enjoyment either. Worship is for God. It's not for you. You're the one doing the worship. He's the one receiving it from us. You're not receiving worship. We don't have a worship and praise band to make you feel good when you come in and go out. It's not for your enjoyment. It's for God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Jehovah is Elohim. There it is. The interpretation. Lord Jehovah is God. Elohim. That's what he says in the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah thy Elohim. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. It means to praise his name. Glorify his name. Give him credit. Give him glory. Give him praise. Brag on him. Love on him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. His truth endureth to all generations. What is truth? Thy word is truth. Father, thank you for your word. I want to use it correctly tonight. I want to use it for your honor and your glory. I want your word to be as a light and as a beacon. I pray that you'd just shine upon us tonight. Holy Spirit, give us your grace. Give us your presence. Make the word food and make it water as it quenches our need for both in our soul as we feed upon the word of God as bread from heaven. And I pray your forgiveness. We give you all the credit and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. I wanted to speak to you tonight about the King James Version of the Bible, the King James Bible. It's about that time that we brought it up again. We do it every so often. It's just a repeat, but we do it because I want people to understand and to learn. So I had a video that's real short. You've seen some of it. Some of you have seen it before, but it's vital as it goes step by step, stage by stage, and shows you why every other version of the Bible is an error or has errors in it except the King James Version of the Bible. Now, I know people make fun of it. Do y'all talk in these and thous? I know. Do ye's and thous and those and who's? You know, kind of. Do you pray in King James English? Sometimes, as a matter of fact, I do. I think God understands it. It's just a habit from reading his word. You get caught up in the these and the thous, and sometimes you just talk to God and we just praise thee, O God. You know? And sometimes it just happens. It doesn't make me any more spiritual than anybody else, but sometimes it just happens. But why we use the King James Version, and I can't give you the complete thing without the video, and it's apparently not going to work tonight. So I do have something that is pretty bad, though. I do have a NIV version. I bought this several years ago in 2007. I bought this because I wanted to know for myself if what the critics were saying about it was really true. I don't use it to study. I don't use it to get the meaning of the King James and then pass it along to you, because this doesn't have the same meaning oftentimes as the King James Bible does. This is an interpretation of man, and most of them made it kind of fit their own lifestyles in a way. I heard that the NIV was even busy in their next version, their next update. They were going to be concentrating on taking all the masculine pronouns out of the Bible when it speaks in reference to God, so that we're not offending people, and especially women. We're not offending women because we're going to give them equal time. Man, when you start doing things like that, you've completely perverted the Word of God rather than preserve the Word of God. And every language group around the world, every language group has a pure interpretation, has a pure version of the Word of God given to them in their own language. You say, is it King James? No, it's not King James. King James is the English version. I heard someone not long ago say, well, we're going to do a translation into the language of these people, and it's pure King James. We're going to use King. Listen, I don't think that's correct. It needs to come from the original languages into their language as close to the original part as you can do, not from an interpretation from one language into another language into another language, but bringing it from the original manuscripts over. That's what King James is. It's what's the word I'm trying to find? It's not an interpretation. It's a, say it again. Transliteration, where you just pull word for word down. We're not translating the word cow to mean a black and white animal that eats green grass and gives white milk. We're not talking about that. Our interpretation of cow would be a black and white spotted. Well, maybe a cow to somebody else is solid black, or maybe it's solid white, or maybe a cow is red, or maybe a cow is something else. But we're interpreting a black and white cow eats green grass, gives white milk, blah, blah, blah. No, a transliteration is word for word. If the word is cow in Spanish, is it vaca? Yeah, I'm so smart. Vaca, viejo vaca, an old cow. Yeah, and so anyway, he's messing with me. So the King James is a transliteration as much as possible. Word for word, it's brought over. It's not an interpretation. This is an interpretation. It's so interpreted that it felt the need to leave verses out. It leaves verses, whole verses, out of what has been proven to be the Word of God. Whole verses. I'll show it to you in just a moment. Again, I need the DVD to give you the background of the King James Version, how it came about, with about 40 different scholars working on these projects. Some of them were speaking Greek and Hebrew by the time they were 6 and 7 years old. Brilliant. They had no TV to watch, radio to listen to, no bebop to play or dance to. It was all a concentrated study with prayer and counsel from one another and the experts. It was not a sodomite himself who was trying to change the pronouns and change things in the Bible to make it easier on sodomy. Some of the translations that I'm aware of have had avowed sodomites who were on the committee that translated some of the versions into the English language. And it's horrible. And some people seem to have the idea that one translation is good as another, just find one. I've heard preachers quote from 4 or 5 different translations as they're doing their sermonette or their message and trying to give people the truth. You cannot give the truth if you're using all the watered-down versions that's placed out on the marketplace. They're copyrighted and sold to make money. Copyrighted. You won't find a copyright on the King James Version because it's not about the money, it's about the truth. Are you with me? Stay with me. Copyright translation, June 1978, and the NIV. This happens to be a Zondervan publication. I got it a long time ago. There are several places I've marked. I'll read some of those in just a moment. Let me give you just a few things. The Word of God is truth. Notice that the 100th Psalm says, His truth endureth to all generations. God intended not for man to change the meaning of what His original Word said. God intended that we as preachers and Sunday school teachers and whatever not water down His truth, just go ahead and tell the truth about it, give His word about it, that sodomy is an abomination unto God. Now the sodomites don't like for you to say that. They'll even come and cut your billboard down like they did here when you put verses of scripture up there. A horrific thing. But now, the truth is the truth, and God says His truth endureth to all generations. It means it never changes. 2 + 2 is always 4, and right is always right, and wrong is always wrong. And so why we use the King James Version? Because it's the truth. It has truth within it. It does not change. As a child, you can memorize it and be confident that 30 years from now, it's still going to say the exact same thing. This is constantly changing, being revised, updated for the English language, which is not going upward in quality. It's coming down in derogatory remarks and so on. English language. And so, thy word is truth. John 17:17. And Jesus said, sanctify them through thy word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify. We're sanctified. We're born again by the power of the word of God. Gives us the truth about the blood, about sin, about what Jesus came for. We're born again by the Word and by the Holy Spirit. Wonderful thing. We learn God's Word from an early life. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I need to read a few of these. I was going to skim over it so that you'd have time for video, but it's not here. So look at this. 2 Timothy 3. And it's not the guy's fault in the sound room. It's just one of those things. I don't know. We have power that comes on and goes off out here all the time. We may have to get up here and do the reset or something. I don't know what it is. It's been hardwired back, direct, and several things have gone on. So we're not blaming anyone, just saying, great. It doesn't surprise me. You know, Satan tries to stick his foot into a lot of things from time to time. 2 Timothy 3, this makes me more determined to show it next time. We will get the projector up. 2 Timothy 3, look at verse 13. He says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's not going to get better, and you cannot legislate goodness and righteousness. It's only going to get worse. We think it's pretty bad today, and we're looking for a man to help change it. Maybe the President of the United States, maybe some senators who promised to change things. But it's only going to get worse until Jesus comes again. You can bet on it. I like what they tell me. The Word of God tells me the truth. He says in verse 14, yeah, he said, seducers will get worse and worse, deceiving being deceived. But, he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I love it. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. So they are unchangeable. They stay the same no matter what. All of the Word is divinely inspired by God. Look at verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, if you have a transliteration, you're trying to take the inspired word and pull it over into your language, word by word by word and phrase by phrase, rather than look into the hearts and minds of the writers of the Gospels and try to figure out what they were trying to say and make an interpretation of such. You want a transliteration, not some moron interpreting for you what he thinks it should be. No. The Holy Spirit's job. That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to guide us and teach. Somebody says, well, the King James Version is just so hard to understand. Really? No. It's given on about a sixth grade level. Boy, you're saying how dumb you are if you can't understand it, huh? Hello? Dumb. The NIV was written on a higher level than sixth grade. It's about a 10th, 11th grade level, supposedly. Anyway, so all of the Word of God is given by inspiration. It does not mean that every translation is inspired. It means the original Word was inspired. Now you got to figure out who did the translating on these things. Now you want to find out what kind of life did they live? What did they do for entertainment? How smart were they? What were they married once or a dozen times? Were they not married at all? Were they sodomites? Was they what were they that did the translations on this? Yeah, good to know. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's what to believe. For reproof, that's what not to believe, and pointing out sin. For correction, that teaches us how to change. For instruction in righteousness, that's how to live right, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly, perfected, perfected. Not thoroughly, thoroughly. If your Bible says thoroughly, you've got a bad King James. And some of the English translations have put thorough in there instead of throughly. Throughly. That the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished. It means complete, perfected. Throughly. Thoroughly means to finish out. If you're thorough, you finished it. So there's a difference. That the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Wonderful. Wonderful. I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 15, and I won't be very much longer, but I want you to turn your Bibles to John 15 and follow what I'm reading. I'm going to read it from the NIV. You're not going to believe this. I'm going to read it from the NIV. I want you to read it in your King James. You there? Okay, here we go. Verse 1. John 15, verse 1, the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. Oh, really? I have a note that I wrote in the side of this. According to a California vineyard owner, an owner of a vineyard. That's grapes, in case you didn't know. According to a California grower, he says, we most definitely do not cut off the branches. When they get down in the mud or in dirt all over them and they're not healthy, we get a bucket of water, we clean them off, and we tie them gently on the trellis to train them to go upward and along the trellis. They're too valuable to cut off. Oh, well, the NIV says that God is a gardener and he's only interested in cutting off what's not producing. He's not a husbandman who trains and and nourishes and fertilizes and feeds and gently puts things where they need to be in order to train the vine and the branches to produce fruit. He's not a husbandman, he's a gardener. Gardeners cut stuff. Hello? Subtle difference. A major impact here. I'm the true vine, my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Oh, in verse 2 in the King James it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. It means he lifts up. It doesn't say anything about cutting off. Remember, we went up verse by verse in this years ago, and he taketh away. It means to lift up, to clean, to put it on the trellis, just like the California grower said so. He doesn't cut it off. The branches are too valuable to just cut off and snip away. Let me continue to read in the NIV. In verse 3, he says, you are already clean. Jesus says, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. He says, you're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself except it remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, ye can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, it'll be given you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Notice the word remain. What idea does that give you? If you remain in Jesus and he remains in you, remain. It's up to you. You have to remain. To me, it has the idea that I have to keep myself saved. If I'm not going to remain in Jesus, if I'm not going to keep myself in Jesus, then I'm not going to have any part with Jesus. It's not up to me. I've been born again. I've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm a child of God. And he says he has put me into the Father's hand and he has me tightly. He's not going to let go of me. That's relationship. When the King James is not talking about relationship, when he says, abide in me, it's talking about fellowship, not relationship. He's talking about fellowship. So he says, abide in me, stay with me, fellowship with me, invite me into your life, invite me into every aspect that you're involved in, whether you're getting married, whether you're, you know, looking for a boyfriend, girlfriend, whether you're, whatever it is, you're starting a business, whatever. Jesus Christ should be there. Abide in me. Fellowship with me, and I will fellowship with you. But remain is but one portion of the definition for abide. In the case here, as it's used in the NIV, the meaning seems to imply a relationship. If you remain in me, if you remain in me, that's where the charismatics get it all wrong. That's where the full gospel people get it wrong. That's where the Pentecostals get it wrong, is they think that they can lose salvation because they didn't stay where they were. They sinned against God and now they're no longer a child of God. They got to get saved again. Some of them get saved three, four, five, 10 times. It's not possible. We talked about it a few weeks ago in one of our messages, and out of the book of Hebrews, the Bible says it's not possible for you to lose it. If you were if it was possible for you to lose it, Jesus Christ would have to come back and die again for the sin that he must have missed when you lost it in order for you to get saved the second or third time. You'd have to have the same effect that Jesus did on the cross in order for that to take place again. And I haven't seen him coming back and dying again, have you? The Bible says once for all he died. So in this case, you have a clear misunderstanding. The NIV is supposed to be making it clear for me, and now I'm confused when I remain in him. How can I remain in him? There's sometimes I don't remain. If I don't remain in him, have I lost it? That's not what Jesus taught, and it's not what the Bible teaches, but it seems to be implied by the NIV. In this case, in usage, the meaning seems to imply relationship. But when you have the word abide, as in the King James, then the whole definition together shows definite fellowship, not relationship. Oh, if you remain in me. There's another one. I want you to look in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse number 7. I'm going to close with this. There's no need to beat it. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. Read it in the King James English. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Where did you first see about the Word? Capitalized Word. Where? In John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay. So here he says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Is that not the Trinity? That's a triune God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a triune God. Well, now look in verse 7. And these three are one. There's your Trinity. There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Listen to what the NIV says. Verse 7. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. Does that even sound close to what he said in the King James? Does that even sound close? Where did the Trinity go? Where did the triune God go? The NIV left out the triune God. He left out the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. He says, let me read it again. There are three that testify. This is verse 7. You're reading verse 7 in King James and it reads completely different. Because it is different. They left out that verse. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. It doesn't say anything about the three being one. Doesn't say anything about the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit being one. It says these three are in agreement. And not the Father, Son, not the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. These are three, the Spirit, the water, the blood, and the three are in agreement. You say, well, that's only two different places. How many places do you need before you throw out a piece of junk? If I can't trust it all the way through, I can't trust it at all. That's only the tip of the iceberg. When you go to all the other versions that are out there, you begin to find so much that's been changed and altered. So much. In the NIV, Satan is called the morning star. I thought Jesus Christ was the bright and morning star. That's what he says in Revelation. He's the bright and the morning star. He's the first that you see. He's the star in the morning that is the last one to go away. He's the first one in the evening when the sun begins to go down that you see in the heavens, the bright and morning star, the first and the last. Satan's called the morning star in the NIV. Confuses me. Are they talking about Satan or are they talking about Jesus? So, make fun of the King James Bible all you want to. The fact remains, it has the truth, the whole truth. And, you know, for people to say and use the excuse, well, I use this version because it helps me understand the word better. That's junk. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie Satan has sown. You can't understand it unless we get it this way. And then they milk it down and they water it down and they change whole verses, and you're not getting the complete truth out of what you think is just a different translation. No, we talk about transliteration, King James, versus translation, NIV, American Standard Version, Good News for Modern Man, on and on. They're perverted translations. Are you biased? No. Are you prejudiced? No. But I know which one's right and which one's not. It's all about truth. It's not about being prejudiced. It's not about trying to understand. Get a version that's easier to understand. Well, okay. I suppose you could get a theology book. Take Strong's, for example. Strong's theology is about this thick and about this big. And he writes in very technical manners. It's very difficult to understand, even though it's truth. So let's water it down. Let's get an easier version to read. Wipe out three-fourths of the truth that he's talking about, and you can understand what the writer is saying, but you're not getting the whole truth. See? I figure when I go in for an operation by a surgeon, he's not telling me everything he knows. We have to watch out when we start operating on you in this area. There are 14 major blood vessels and two arteries that we have to be careful of and get through and around and bypass in order to get what's wrong with you and ailing you, and then to take that out and make that incision. We have to go in from the backside. We can't come directly through the front because we'll tear all that up and you'll bleed to death. I don't need to know everything he knows. I just need to know that he's going in the right direction. He does know it. King James, I don't know everything in the Bible, and I'm still learning. I've been studying it for years. I'm still learning. God opens up as I'm able to understand, does the same to you. But they've simplified it here. They've taken out the major arteries, and they've taken and bypassed most of the blood vessels. And so they just go right in, and they fail to remind you that God is a triune being, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They fail to remind you that God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should be saved. So they start fooling with stuff and changing stuff and making interpretations easier for you to understand, but they've cut down and whittled away so much of the truth that is valuable. We can't delete it just because we don't understand it. Paul said to that group in the church, he said, I have meat for you. Boy, I've got meat and potatoes for you, but you're not able to understand it right now, so you're not going to get anything but the milk of the word. And when you're old enough and mature enough, I'll give you this meat. Does that make sense? Paul didn't whittle it away and do away with it. He just said, when you're mature enough, you'll understand. That's what King James does. But this is trying to make every moron understand. Oh, yeah, I know that. I read that, and they're not giving you half of it. Okay, Stan will be dismissed tonight.